Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Episode 61 of Level 117 on Sci-Fi For Me Radio. Talking about tonight's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, Laws of Nature. Joining me tonight, on my left, is Mr. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And Maya Aides.
Good evening.
And sitting at the controls, Mr. Jason Hunt.
Although I am not in control.
No, never.
Though we let you think that sometimes. I am Dan Handley, and so tonight's episode, what did everyone think on this?
I think they came back well.
It was a strong first episode.
It was exciting.
Back. I mean, there's still some pieces to be put into place with Agent May and the fate of Gemma Simmons.
You mean that we don't have our whole team together again?
The great triumphant return of the new season.
Hasn't happened yet.
Which is apparently next episode.
Part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know about May, but
she was in the teaser for next episode. So.
Oh yeah, she was. Never mind.
And so was Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't in this episode, which I think was a good idea.
I did too. I think that would have been too much.
We're setting up our parameters for the season. As we know, this is the Secret Warriors
build up
season
setup.
Yeah.
Since Bobby and Lance are going to get their own series at some point, so the Secret Warriors are covering season 3 for this show.
What are they going to do when they try and bring Bobby and Hawkeye together? Because, of course,
really.
We just need movie crossovers first.
An affair?
I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. Joss Whedon has said that they're separate, they live separate, and now that the creative committee is completely out of the movie-making side of things, I don't think we're going to get much crossover at all. We'll get a mention, like we did tonight. We got three.
Mm-hmm.
We got a mention of Sokovia falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We got the stuff that happened in New York, the stuff that happened in London.
Mm-hmm.
So we got those things.
You also had an Ant-Man reference,
Ant-Man reference. And what was it? I think there was another one.
There was another event.
Because they mentioned
three events.
See, I completely disagree with you. Because...
Which part?
Well, that we're not going to get any more crossovers.
Oh.
Because Whedon doesn't own this.
Mm-hmm. No, I know, but given the fact that Feige and Marvel Studios now report directly to Alan Horn,
right,
and are not part of, they're not answering to the creative committee as they were before.
Uh-huh. And
the fact that the TV series, the shows
mm-hmm.
are produced by ABC Television and Marvel Television.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's less likelihood we'll get crossover. We'll get synergy.
No,
we'll get, they'll talk about each other, but I don't think we're going to get as much crossover as we used to. But that's just me.
I think you're wrong. I think it doesn't change.
It's been
I think the
happen.
Whole purpose for the TV anything. Show is to have crossover
exactly.
with the
it's,
movies
it's,
to help cross promote.
Here's where the mysterious helicarrier came from.
The TV show show is to act as a commercial for the movie.
Right. And that's why I think you're going to have
supporting material.
I think you are going to have crossover. I mean,
I don't know.
I think
we haven't yet.
Well,
not really.
Well, only in the insofar as the TV show again has been supporting the movies.
Right.
And basically it's already kicked off the third phase.
Right, but they're not crossing over.
And
we're
also
not, we're
sort
not
of
having
held
any,
hostage.
None of the television characters are moving into the movies.
Yet.
I don't think they will.
You mean anymore?
What do you mean anymore?
Well, none
of them have.
Sidwell.
Sidwell started in the movies.
But he crossed over onto the TV show.
I know, I'm saying none of the TV cast.
Oh, that originated TV.
Anywhere? None of the TV shows are going to the movies. We're having movie characters pop into the TV shows, but okay. It's not going the other way.
I think it. I don't think it will. I think it eventually will. I think that you've got. I mean, Coulson came from the movies. Coulson will go end up back in the movies.
He kind of.
If that was going to happen, it would have happened already. Because it should have happened already.
It should have happened in
Winter Soldier.
You're right. It should have happened. But just because it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I think we give Marvel this, like, almost holy ability to. It's like we're all. There's this, like. Well, they get everything right all the time. Well, no, they don't. So, first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we saw that.
Yeah.
I think that the Civil War is a much better opportunity than Winter Soldier.
For Coulson to show up?
For
any agents, of them?
Yeah, any of them, too. Even if it's just, and honestly, all you'd have to do is just a cameo shot. I mean, because there's 4 million people are in that movie. I mean, I'm in that movie. I'm not even part of the Marvel Universe. I'm in the background somewhere.
Wait,
everybody.
You're like saying that over and over again. That's like your catchphrase.
I must be the loser because I'm like the only person on Earth not in that movie.
He did make a trip to New York recently.
I did make a trip to New York recently. That's right. It's very true. If they see a financial reason to do it, if there is a financial benefit to it, they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see a financial benefit of making an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie or a Daredevil movie, they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Funny you should mention that. Drew Goddard, doing an interview with IGN, talking about The Martian, which is out now, the movie with Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, Drew Goddard was involved in Daredevil TV series. And it was going to be putting together the Sinister Six movie. He wrote the script. He was going to, mm-hmm. I think he was going to direct right. it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, IGN was asking him about it. They said, is there ever a possibility that maybe the Sinister Six project could come back at some point? He's like, nah, probably not. If Marvel decides they want to do it, then sure, anything's possible. But they were asking him about Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And when the rights came back, the original thought was to do a new Daredevil movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he says in his discussions with Marvel about Daredevil as a project, they came to realize that the movies are the big spectacle films, the big spectacle stories.
That's
true. 110, 125, $150 million projects. He said Marvel's not going to make a $25 million movie. Because Daredevil at this point is just in his little corner of New York. He's fighting to protect his neighborhood.
Right.
And that's all. It's very self-contained.
It's a smaller story.
Mm-hmm. He said if you had to do network television, then you'd have to water it down. Same with The Punisher, because The Punisher came up. Now that Punisher is showing up on season 2, you'd have to water it down enough for network standards and practices departments that it would basically castrate the whole idea of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Is that Netflix was a perfect fit for this show because if you took this Daredevil story that they told on Netflix and you made it a Marvel movie, it'd be an R-rated Marvel movie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And Goddard says Marvel's not making R-rated movies yet.
They could have gotten away with it like on HBO or something like that. But yeah, well, then
you got a limited audience here because you've Netflix is how many subscribers does HBO have versus Netflix?
I don't know. I don't know those numbers.
I think there's more people on Netflix than there are on HBO.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean that's a complete guess on my part.
What Goddard was saying is you can
do Netflix. The Netflix model works really well for the sensibility of that particular story.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't fit anywhere else. I think Punisher is going to be the same way, which kind of makes me wonder if they're talking about Punisher getting his own series at some point, maybe showing up on Netflix, maybe after the second season of Daredevil is over.
Spin off
Punisher, spin off Elektra.
It all comes down to the money.
Yep, follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. If it's going to be profitable, they'll do it in a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
And if it doesn't overload what they're already doing, too.
Right.
can they overload yet?
I think they can. They just haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah, because we haven't even gotten into the magic side yet.
That's true.
Because Doctor Strange is still, you know, we haven't even started with that.
Years
and then,
out.
And then later on, we've got, like, Captain Marvel, and then we got Inhumans and all that stuff coming out.
Which we're leading up to starting with
tonight.
this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. See how we did that?
Exactly.
That was so nice.
I set you up there, you
yes,
see?
Yes. Thank you.
You're
They did use the term last season, but this season,
yeah, they're fully
it's
embracing
going to be
it.
Much, yeah. Obviously much bigger.
Story from Chloe Bennett. Mm. In the writer's room on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there are two boxes. One box is labeled Daisy. One box is labeled Sky.
Mm.
And any time somebody makes the mistake of calling this character Sky anymore, they have to put a donation in the box. And so far, they've collected over $200 in that box because people keep calling her Sky. We saw that again tonight with Coulson actually doing it in the show.
Why do they have the other box?
I don't know, but I don't know.
I mean, why do they have a Daisy box?
Anybody who makes the mistake of calling her Daisy, oh, wait.
Well, it could be just a reminder.
Could be.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, there is a swear jar, I guess you could say, in the writer's room at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A sky jar.
A sky jar. Yes. Yes. A sky box.
I like that. Man.
Nice.
Yeah. So Coulson apparently is the only one that's having trouble adjusting to the new name. Everybody else calling her Daisy, no problem. She's calling herself Daisy, no problem. So she's really kind of come into her own identity, saying, okay, this is who I am.
And they've also called her Quake.
Yeah, and an interview that Comic Book Resources did with Clark Gregg and Chloe Bennett talked about the fact that up until this point, especially in the first season, Sky had no identity for herself. It was just her. She's a hacker. She's trying to figure out where she comes from, trying to figure out who her people are, you know, family, heritage, you know, history, all of that stuff. And then as we go through the second season, she's got this kind of a new family with the S.H.I.E.L.D. team. And then she learns her actual real origins. And now she's got a new family and a new identity all over again. And the gist of it is basically that she's finally gotten into the point where she's settled into who she actually really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, yeah, we've got Daisy Johnson, Quake, leader of the Secret Warriors.
Well, you knew that her character had totally changed because she's got a haircut.
Yeah, and
the, and apparently that's what it takes.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the haircut and the uniform. Mm-hmm. She's got a new uniform. She's got new gauntlets.
You mean a black tank top?
Well, right now, she's not the head of anything.
No, well, not just her. Well, she's gotten a promotion.
Well, no, yeah, but
she's recruiting.
Right, she's recruiting.
Yeah. Well, the tank top, I think, is an interesting wardrobe choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I was wondering about that when she walked into the room with Joey and she's sitting there and talking to him. I think that does two things. It gives us a visual that's completely different from the hacker.
Mm-hmm.
It makes her look older.
So does the haircut.
Yeah, the haircut does too.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's in this tank top that's kind of showing off everything, I think, adds to she's not the angsty, rebellious teenager. She's a grown up now.
I thought maybe part of it was that we're supposed to. I mean, she's obviously she's been in a lot of training and everything, and she's more muscular now.
I think a little bit of that too. Yeah, gives her a little bit more physicality.
Mm-hmm. More like Bobby.
Yeah. Plus, in that particular scene, it clearly shows that she's unarmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't have all of the uniform and the gauntlet and the equipment and the weapons and stuff It makes her a little bit more approachable for this guy who's clearly scared out of his mind because he doesn't know what's happening to him. He's taken the fish oil. He's transformed because of the teragenesis. And so he's trying to figure out what he does.
He melts things.
He melts things, specific metals within a 3-meter radius. He can melt them. Mr. Harvey Marvel person over there, is he got an equivalent in the comic books?
I'm not sure who he is. And nothing that particularly leapt out at me. But it's also the considering that the name of the person, the most interesting person in on this episode, isn't the name that I expected it to be either. So
you mean
Constance Zimmer is the actor.
Constance Zimmer, the actress playing Rosalind Pryce,
right?
Who is leader of the new presidential task force assigned to collect these inhumans, these aliens, because they don't know what they are. And what was the name of the group that she's in charge of now?
I don't think they've said.
They did.
Yeah, they did. It was the...
I don't think that was it.
No. Advanced Threat Containment Unit.
ATCU.
ATCU, otherwise known as SWORD.
We think it's SWORD because, it really is... Everything about... For those of you who don't know, SWORD was the... essentially the extraterrestrial version of S.H.I.E.L.D. They dealt with off-planet threats. Abigail Brand, I believe, was the leader of SWORD, and basically everything S.H.I.E.L.D. did, S.H.I.E.L.D. dealt with terrestrial, and SWORD dealt with things coming in.
And it actually makes a certain amount of sense because, A, they establish in this episode that Rosalind Pryce has a number of aliases. So Rosalind Pryce may not even be her real name. That's just what everybody's going to call her. B, this gives us, in addition to the Inhumans storyline, this gives us an entry point for Captain Marvel. Because Colonel Danvers, Carol Danvers, Colonel, Major, whatever her rank is now, at one point was in charge of SWORD. So there's a possible tie-in there coming down the line.
So you think she's actually...
She's not Carol Danvers, no. But wouldn't that be an interesting way to introduce Carol Danvers?
With an alias.
To bring her in on this team through the TV show and then launch her in. Because we're taking how long... We're taking 3 years to build to the Inhumans movie, starting now.
It's really confusing to me why they would do this.
That's a long game. So...
Sentient World Observation and Response Department.
Yes. SWORD.
SWORD.
We loves our acronyms.
We do. It is a counterpart of the better-known S.H.I.E.L.D.
Who do you think built the new bus?
I don't know. You're thinking Stark.
It could be.
Industries.
It could be Stark. Unless this is one that was just tucked away somewhere.
Kept in the mothballs, just hanging around in case
it's
needed.
Kept in the garage next to the other helicarrier that just conveniently was stored.
Could have been a prototype.
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's a possibility.
Because if it hadn't been taken out before and
it does look,
you know, it's a brand new thing.
Rather advanced.
Could have been pre-developed but never put into service.
Yeah. That's a possibility. I'm just wondering who built it. Because if S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to have been...
defunct.
Gone forever. And it has been a while since, you know, it's been a year and a half now since Winter Soldier. So there's been a long time for S.H.I.E.L.D. to collapse, officially anyway. I'm curious to see where that new helicarrier queen jet combo
came from. So where does
a
defunct, disbanded, large organization come up with the funds for a swanky new...
It's got to be Stark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the president has his own team and it's not Coulson's team, then Coulson's got to be getting his tech from somewhere.
Right.
It only makes sense that it would come from Stark.
You got to have some fun toys.
Yeah, which gives you another entry point into Civil War. Because Stark could sit there and go, I gave you all this stuff. You're supposed to be on my side.
Well, we're also, but you're also leaving out the possibility that they probably have a vast sum of their own funds anyway.
Who does?
Yeah, but Shield. if that organization,
not this little splinter of it.
But if Shield went away,
they're kind of reforming. They've been trying to build up the force for the last year and a half.
Here's two reasons I have a problem with that. One, Shield isn't supposed to exist anymore. And so as an organization, as a government-sanctioned official organization,
mm-hmm.
now gone, mm-hmm. their funding would now go other places.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because government doesn't ever give the money back. They just spend it someplace else.
Right.
Two, if they knew that any of this group was still operating, very much like General Talbot going after them, they would have frozen their assets mm-hmm. because they're considered a domestic terrorist organization
but
now.
But they're a spy organization.
I know.
And spy organizations have been known to, plan for the contingency of having your assets frozen?
Have we demonstrated that the Shield team can plan?
No, actually, we have not. In fact, we have a lovely example this evening of possibly not quite the most obvious trap in the world, but a fairly obvious trap.
Yes.
And at this point, and only at this point, she is completely unattended by her security in a public place.
Bobby's the one who gave him the intel. Is she really not?
Well, no. It was a plot-driven thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's hand of the writer.
Right. I'm just like, you would think Bobby would have seen that.
If we'd actually seen the writer's hand come into the screen.
To be fair to Coulson, he didn't act like it was a surprise.
No, he didn't. But the thing is that it was so... First of all, Coulson, when was the last time Coulson really seemed surprised? Oh, wait, when he got his arm chopped off.
That was a surprise.
But he was not expecting that. That was not on the agenda when he got up that morning. He got his coffee.
Yeah.
He did not think to himself.
But on the other hand,
arm, don't need it.
Grabbing a Terrigen crystal wasn't probably his list of to-do either.
I really liked the scene.
Mm-hmm.
The scene was really good.
Yeah, especially given the fact that
we're talking about the train. Okay.
Yeah. Especially considering that in the course of that conversation, they figured out that neither one of them is doing what they're accusing the other one of doing.
Right.
And wait a minute, if we're not killing them and you're not killing them, who's killing them?
Yeah.
And that's when we see Lash at the hospital coming after Lincoln. Sparkplug.
Yeah. It is unfortunate
code name.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Constance Zimmer does not have green hair, because that would be
give it time.
Because Abigail has green hair, and Abigail has green hair because Abigail is partially alien.
Give it time.
And I would just love that would be even better when you sit there and go.
That could be the mid-season reveal.
It could be.
We'll call it now. The mid-season reveal is that this is Abigail Brand and Sword.
See,
mark the date and time, folks.
It just really should be, because it is. I mean, essentially, that it's the role that it's filling right
that
now.
That she should be.
What did they call? Harry Osborn's. It was his replacement for Shield. I have to look that up.
You do that while we go to break and refill coffee mugs.
Awesome.
And when we get back, Mr. Harvey will have that special information about Harry Osborn's organization, and we will continue our discussion of tonight's season premiere episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. called Laws of Nature when Level 117 returns right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-FiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 117, Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aids.
Yeah, yeah.
Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
And we want to give our congratulations to Kelsey Jenkins.
Oh, yeah?
Kelsey Jenkins, of course, out at Salt Lake Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
With her boyfriend.
Oh, yes. Saw that.
Paid for a photo op with Chris Evans and Haley Atwell.
Oh, yeah.
And boyfriend proposed in the midst of the photo. And it's a classic photo. I mean, it really is. He's dressed as Captain America. She's dressed as Black Widow. And Chris Evans looks rather surprised. Haley Atwell has a look on her face is like, oh, my God. It's rather fun to look at. And of course,
Chris Evans with the beard.
And of course, the Mary Sue doesn't bother to mention the boyfriend's name.
Oh, boy. Isn't that lovely?
Well, just saying. He's not important. He's not important.
We know his name. It's Steve Rogers. You can tell from the costume.
It's Kelsey's boyfriend.
Well, it's Kelsey's boyfriend.
Well, you got fiance is the important one, right?
Remember, there was Amy Pond, and then there was that Rory guy.
Oh, poor
Long
Rory.
Ponds. Yes. Anyway,
they were the Ponds.
Speaking of boyfriends, Fitz. Fitz is on a quest.
Good
quest.
Segue.
He's getting tougher and tougher. I mean,
he is. He's
getting quite emotional.
Tangiers, Morocco.
Fitz is going to cut you so bad. You're going to wish he could cut you so bad.
Fitz is throwing fits.
I tell you. So he's
actually, what are those little bomb thingies? Those little like.
Oh yeah.
I don't think
stun things.
I don't think they were what he said they
no,
were.
No, they're not.
No.
They were like flashbangs or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
There's no way he was going to let what he said. I can't remember what he called them, but.
Yeah.
Bad little bum.
No, he goes to Morocco because he's tracking down a scroll that apparently, according to his information, has details about how to deal with this Kree monolith.
Well, it's what it is.
What it is. How to interact with it. Something. Some kind of a clue.
Well, I was hoping.
Right. Clues?
And
but it's also very, very clear that he is this is the latest in a long string of.
Yeah, he's desperate.
You know, he's
emotionally compromised.
Oh, very much so. But you know, it's
understandable.
Yeah, I was gonna say nobody's surprised by this. I think the interesting thing is where he has gone with it. He is not anymore either the very very timid lab rat of the beginning of the first season,
right?
Or is he the damaged goods?
That he was in the
second season. This is, you know,
he's taking initiative. He's thinking things through, mm-hmm. or at least from his point of view, he's thinking them through.
Well, it's the second
Coulson
time.
Coulson might disagree with that because he wants him to be working on what's going on there at their base.
Well, this is basically the second time he's lost her.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there was early second season.
Right.
He was hallucinating. He saw her talking to a phantom. Now he's lost her again, so.
Sure.
He's a little on the.
He has a hard time
off the deep end side.
He has a hard time keeping a hold of his girlfriends.
Well, you know, if they wouldn't keep, like, you know, wandering off into, like, dimensional portal things that transport them across the galaxy. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Across the universe, according to the
spoilers.
Trailer.
Spoilers.
It's not really a spoiler if it was on the trailer.
Yeah. By the way, folks, we do discuss spoilers on this show. For those of you who are just now joining us.
Was that the actual... That was the last scene of the episode.
Last scene of the episode.
Yeah, that was the last bit.
We do discover Gemma is still alive.
Sort of.
She is on another planet
mm-hmm.
that either is a moon or has two moons, because mm-hmm. we saw two other celestial objects in the sky.
A big one, a little one.
The color spectrum skews toward the purple side. She is being tracked, hunted.
So that would be what, a Zamorin?
Maybe.
Unexpected DC Universe crossover.
Well, sure.
Green Lantern comes to save her, and the internet explodes.
Well, although some people are already blown up on Twitter saying, wouldn't it be cool if the Guardians of the Galaxy saved her?
Well, yes.
Yes, it would. Not going to happen.
Although, I got to say, the effects budget on the show, either they are blown at all here at the beginning, because the CG on the plane looks good.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That is a very. I mean, that's. Yeah. It looks better than last season's. And I mean, I know this isn't
an upgrade of the program, the software.
No, I think it could easily have done that in a year.
I wouldn't mind getting a hold of somebody from the effects team. I wonder if maybe they built a model.
Oh. And did that
and enhanced it with CG, but. It's a
basic composite,
because now that we've got Star Wars in the pipeline, there's been this shift back toward practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about CG stuff and visual effects and opticals and that kind of thing, I'm wondering if maybe somebody sat there and went, you know, we could just build the plane and shoot it with a camera. So it reacts to light like it's actually here it's really here.
It would just, again, it would come down to what your ultimate costs are going to be on something like that. And that's a really good question. I mean, I just don't know.
I'd be interested to find out.
Man hours. Of course, if you could get kids to put together the model, you know.
Interns.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I was thinking younger than interns, but...
Well, I don't know. You go too much younger than that, and you end up with the parts spread out all over the floor for 3 weeks.
No, more than 3 weeks.
Child prodigies.
And well, you step actually, on them.
You know, funny you should mention that. We got my son got a Lego Force Awakens kit.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
He got Poe Dameron's X-Wing, the black and gold one. And he's putting it together, and everything's going just fine. And then he stops.
Oh.
Because he's got pieces missing.
Uh-oh.
Pieces missing out of the kit. They didn't come in the kit.
Oh, no.
He says, I can't find them. I said, did you sort your pieces? What? Because right now they're just in a pile.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I go up there and help him sort it all out, and we're looking at everything. And sure enough, these two pieces are missing. And without them... You can't build up the rest of the piece. You gotta, you know.
Yeah.
So, we got on Lego's website. Go to the customer service and thing and all that. And they've got a place. Right? Hey, I'm missing pieces. And you can select the kit, and then it gives you a pop up of all of the pieces that are included in the kit. Mm-hmm. All of them that are supposed to be there. You can click on the one you're missing, and it says, "Okay, where do we send it?" And here, a week later. Here they are.
Nice.
So, yeah. Every time I hear any kind of a story about Lego customer support, it's always positive. I've never heard a negative, I hate Lego story, you know?
I can't stand the fact that they give me nothing to complain about.
Oh, I've
pretty
heard
much.
They hurt really bad if you step on them.
I just heard a Lego complaint. That's okay. Well, it's it comes down to, you know, if for example, you happen to live in a certain city and you're taking your kids to go to Legoland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how much it actually costs to take your kids to Legoland.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that mention.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, so you want all my money.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, but, you know, as those of us with children know, periodically you find yourself going, well, I told them I was going to take them.
Yeah. I hate it if I've done that.
Yeah.
Crap. Mm-hmm.
When are we going to do this? When are we going to go to this?
Because they will never, ever, 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 ever forget that you said you were going to do that.
Yeah. They'll be 54 and they'll still remember.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Give me something to look forward to.
You will
appreciate that.
My kids are not yet 54, by the way.
So
actually some comedian actually was talking about that. It's how it's like, you know. It's like, Dad, I would have loved to have gone there, but they tore the place down years ago.
So, maybe that's what happened to Ward.
So you always denied.
That's his childhood trauma that just set off the whole thing going, right?
Yeah. Do you think they built that model with pieces they got from Lego customer service?
You never know.
Oh, you're talking about.
The plane.
The plane.
No
bus.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a.
Okay,
if there was
for
a
the
kid.
Kids at home, turn to the old person next to you.
The plane.
What was Fantasy Island?
The first one, the original.
The original. Tattoo.
Yeah, because Tattoo wasn't in the remake.
I know. But the remake did have Malcolm McDowell, and
did he do that? I didn't see the remake.
The best thing about the remake was that
Mr. Rourke was a Time Lord. That island was pretty big.
Well,
on the inside.
There's a chance because in the unfortunately short-lived remake, he wasn't human, to be sure.
Now that's got me thinking, and I shouldn't do that.
No. Okay, back to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Everyone slowly moved towards the door.
Here, don't make eye contact.
Here we managed to bring it back to S.H.I.E.L.D. and right off again. We do digress on the show.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so basically, I tell you, the one thing that I liked about this particular episode was they dropped Lash right into it.
Let's just
start right off the get-go. We have a bad guy. Here he is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he looks pretty menacing.
He does.
He's got the 80s rocker hair.
It kind of reminds me of Lobo.
It goes all the way down his back.
Yeah.
You know what? There was some Lobo there. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? I thought it was like a porcupine.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Who is... What's Caldargo? What's his race? On Farscape? Dargo?
Oh, he's a Luxon.
Luxon.
Yeah, he is kind of...
A Luxon Lobo.
He does kind of have that Luxon look.
Yeah, with the tentacles.
The Luxon look.
The Luxon. Oh, there's a commercial there.
It sounds like a hairstyle.
The Luxon look.
From L'Oreal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I really liked about this episode? People acted, for the most part, like real people.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
When Fitz came back from his trip to Tangiers and he opens up the cylinder thing and the only thing is in there is the Hebrew word death. He reacts like a real person. He goes and gets a gun and goes and shoots open the monolith.
Yeah, that
secure thing. You got to admit, that's
yelling at it.
That's realistic.
Oh yeah,
that's a real reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, I would agree. I think my only problem with that scene is the fact that, again,
it scared the weeb out of me. But
you have got the alien artifact in the basement, what ate your friend, and you've got it behind locked doors and all these things. But it's an alien artifact in the basement, what ate your friend, and no alarms go off when he kicks open the door.
They probably assumed nobody was stupid enough to go in there.
Yeah, that's what I think. But I think he's saying that it could have come out.
You can't do that. And there's, at no point can you ever assume. They've met S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, see, and I agree, because at the very least, gunfire would bring somebody running. I mean, at some point, somebody should have run in and
What happened? If the next episode doesn't start with Coulson going, I'm going to need you to not shoot the alien monolith again, please.
Although he didn't shoot the alien monolith.
It doesn't matter. I just wanted to say that. Please don't shoot the alien monolith ate your friend.
Don't tear up your hands beating on a giant rock with a weird face on it.
Okay. I had a little bit of a problem with that because seeing him pound on that Kree monolith,
mm-hmm.
You could tell it was rubber. I don't know. There was just about the way he was hitting it, I thought.
It was an alien material, really, and there was some give to it.
There was. There was. It really did look like he was hitting a big rubber block.
I expected it to eat him.
That doesn't look right. It kind of popped me out of the scene a little bit.
It looked alien? No. Oh, well,
yeah,
I'm giving
fake.
It the benefit of the doubt.
It looked like a low-budget prop. Oh, hey, he's got to hit this. Let's make it out of rubber so he doesn't break his knuckles. You know, that's what that was. Because up until now, nobody's really interacted with it much except to just kind of poke at it. But, you know, with him just
I don't think anybody's poked
like
at it. It just came out and ate her.
Yeah.
Do not poke the alien monolith what ate your friend.
Not unless you're ready for some slit scan transportation to the other side of the universe.
Oh, yeah. It does depend on what your goals are.
Uh-huh.
And
speaking of, are
the Star Child's a Kree?
Are the shield goals and the advanced threat containment unit goals going to be
aligned?
Cross purposes at some point.
You've got to have the clash. I mean,
I'm going to go topical. I'm going to go topical humor. Is the Pope Catholic?
Is the baby cosplayer Pope Catholic? That's what I would
I don't know. Doesn't matter. But the two of them in the same shot was kind of awesome.
It was.
Oh, speaking of awesome.
I will call him Mini-Me.
It's hammer time. You figured out Harry Osborn's organization?
Yes. Norman Osborn, actually.
Norman Osborn,
yes.
Yes,
so you want to go. Harry is...
Harry's dead, isn't he?
Has yet to be portrayed properly in the cinematic universe either.
Yeah.
Of course, they're rebooting that line.
I know, but still. Yeah, it's interesting because there are a lot of parallels between Norman Osborn's time running the intelligence apparatus of the U.S. in the comic book world. So, yes, only in the Marvel Universe would you put the Green Goblin in charge of things.
But have you reformed?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever looked at our government?
Yeah, well, yes.
There you go.
But it's slightly different.
Not by much.
Pretty much different.
Green Goblin, how about a place on the cabinet?
Although it is interesting though that we're getting what could be a sword analog,
mm-hmm.
maybe a hammer analog.
Well, the hammer
at the time we're coming up to Civil War, which is when Norman Osborn and Hammer
came out of the Civil War, they came out of the Skrull invasion,
right?
Which was supposed to happen right after
Civil War.
So basically, what ended up happening is that Osborn basically shut down S.H.I.E.L.D. and created Hammer in its place. And it's interestingly enough, Hammer tended to ally itself with things like Hydra. And they ended up shutting down Hydra because it was shutting down Hammer because it was infiltrated by Hydra agents. So I mean there's some interesting parallels here. So So having sword, or at least a sword analog, and I don't know why they wouldn't use sword.
Unless it evolves into sword,
it could be.
During Civil War.
I still say that. I'll be perfectly fine if they just give me the throwaway line. You might be the shield, but we're the sword. That'd be fine. That's all I actually need.
Yeah.
Because that would just be perfect. But, so it's interesting. And now we don't have a Norman Osborn in this universe yet. When the Spider-Man is coming into this universe,
we'll get him.
We should get a Norman if we can. Right. And we've actually cast... Norman's actually been cast a couple of times by good actors. They just haven't really had a chance to let him do much with it. I mean...
I thought Willem Dafoe did a great job with them.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The biggest weakness there was that they went with the technical for the costume, which I understand why they did it, but that mask was just a little too
over the top.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although if you saw the production art that they did, where it was the
even
makeup
more so.
Mask, it was like, you know, it's not going to play. It's a tough character to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It'd be like trying to do the Jackal from Spider-Man on camera too. It's like these are characters that don't. When they roll out Mysterio, it's going to be basically a guy with a bubble on his head.
But
so,
see, the thing about it is, though, what you can do now, with the technology being the way it is now with motion capture, you could do the dots on the face and make Green Goblin from that and not even have to worry about effects makeup or aesthetic.
Yeah, but
or
you also have to consider the fact that some of these things do not translate well necessarily from page to screen. I mean, you look at Captain America's costume, for example. There's a reason that the movie version looks more like military fatigues than a skin-tight bodysuit
with chainmail underneath,
with the big cuffed boots, and it's sort of like, but I don't know. It's a solid start for the season.
They tried to do that in Avengers and look cheesy.
Yeah, this looks a lot. I'm a lot happier watching this. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, we've got, you know, a couple of quibbles here.
Mm-hmm. The fact that we haven't got May back yet. We don't know what's happening with her.
Next episode.
She went on vacation and has not returned.
Well, and it looks like next episode we're also going to get the we're going to go after and find our missing girl. Because that's kind of what they said. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think is the significance of
that and Ward?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we are going to get that. But what do you think is the significance of the Hebrew word for death being on that scroll that Fitz brought back?
Well, she's being hunted by some alien, we assume, of some sort. So maybe that's the death they're talking about.
I wasn't entirely sure that she was being hunted. She was scrambling.
Yeah, she's being tracked by something. I mean, because there's a couple of things. You could hear the sounds of something coming after her. And when she realized that she's bleeding, she dug down into, I guess,
the soil or whatever.
To find some
wet mud.
Yeah, something to cover it up.
Cover it up and seal it. So you could, I guess, cover the scent. Maybe they're tracking her by smell.
I don't know enough about tracking.
Goes after the blood. It's a land shark.
Oh. Hadn't thought of that.
Telegram.
Exactly.
Candygram.
Jehovah's Witness.
I'm a SHIELD agent.
Let me show you my badge.
Can I come in? I'm a SHIELD, really. I'm Captain America.
They missed a good skit there.
Maybe we'll have to do one of these
kids
days.
At home, turn to an older person and ask them about the land shark.
Okay. How old is that?
But the thing is, here's the 1970s. Thing. There is hope for humanity because, despite your concerns about the internet, Mr. Hunt.
I don't have any concerns about it. It's a lost cause.
You can find there these things are out there on the internet. You can actually find them. So the kids today. They can find these things.
And you're thinking that they will take it in and learn from it.
You might have to lead the children. You might have to lead them.
Probably on YouTube
the quality humor. you have to sit there and go, this is Monty Python. Watch. Learn.
Genius. <You know?
laughs> This is the first 10 seasons of Saturday Night Live. Mm. Watch.
Anybody else a fan of Fawlty Towers?
Oh, I love Fawlty Towers.
Good show.
But we digress.
Yes.
What, again?
Sorry.
So, yeah. Anyway, solid beginning. I think aside from a couple of missteps that are pretty forgivable.
The relationship between Bobby and Hunter. We haven't talked about that quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where that's going.
Hunter's going after Ward.
Seemed pretty serious.
Yeah. You know, he's
all the signs were there. Like he said, they just needed a piece of paper.
Revenge.
Mm-hmm. But he wants to go by himself.
Well, because she's still...
Oh, wait, wrong universe. That was Superman 2, sorry.
She's still broken.
Yeah, she's recovering.
Yeah. But I think it's more than just her physical state. He doesn't want to have her in danger.
He's going to do something that is essentially a vengeance mission.
Yeah, off the books and...
Excuse me. And Coulson said it's okay, which, you know, Coulson gets it, but this is not the brightest of plans. I'm going to make a really, really, you know, hard prediction to make. This is going to go wrong.
Well, so did his rescue. I mean, his rescue operation didn't exactly go smoothly either.
Well, he got her back.
Yes, but
I mean, like, I would say that's a success. He got her back, and she was alive. So.
Sort of. Yeah. No, she's alive, but there was, you know, like she said, you came into an obvious trap. That was stupid. And he's like, you were the bait. And that's why that's a big part of why he doesn't
because
want Wolf, her to come with.
Twolwolf is what brings us together today.
Kids, turn to somebody who's older and ask them about the...
Okay, if they do not know about the Princess Bride...
they just have to know that.
Something's very wrong, yeah.
Then I'm afraid they have to go.
I would say most of the people that listen to this show probably know the Princess Bride.
I think odds are good.
Because we have a smart audience.
And because we Princess Bride.
Yeah. Well, we would think. Yes. So, you think Hunter and Bobby pop off in mid-season? Go off, do their pilot?
I think that's too early.
You think?
Yeah, maybe. I do.
Unless that's part of the mid-season.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is because at mid-season we have the reveal of Abigail Brand and Sword.
You've also
depending on the Ward arc, Lash could be the entire season.
Yes,
I see this going out the whole 22.
But you've also got
Simmons
at the same time Ward trying to rebuild Hydra,
right? Which, if they're going to concentrate on Inhumans for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 3, it would make sense that they use this first half to set up Lance and Bobby chasing Ward. Mm-hmm. That becomes that show. Because the name of the show is Marvel's Most Wanted.
Mm.
And everybody was thinking, well, who would be most wanted? Bobby's not wanted. Why would Bobby be wanted?
Mm-hmm.
But what if they go off chasing Ward, who's most wanted, public enemy number one in the Marvel Universe, because he's trying to rebuild Hydra. And that becomes the premise of that show. It splits off that way, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can focus on Secret Warriors.
Possibility.
I think you may have come up with something there.
That actually makes
way too much sense, though. So there's also a possibility that because it makes so much sense, it cannot be.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Hate to break the bubble, burst the bubble thing there, but
you know
it sounds really, really plausible.
It makes too much sense.
I am so used to bubbles bursting. It is a matter of course.
But it does. It sounds exactly.
But that does not stop us from having our theories. Though.
We are off the rails.
We have been like going down so many memory lanes here with little bits that it's just like.
Well, that's not too bad. See, the thing about it is that we really, in the grand scheme of things, if you really look at this episode,
mm-hmm.
in terms of plot.
It's just setting everything up.
Yeah, we didn't have very much. I mean, we had a little movement, but basically this hour was putting all the pieces in place on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's tell everybody where everybody is, and next episode is green light go.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question, I think.
Just one?
I think, right now.
Okay.
Okay. So in the hospital, when everything let loose, hit the fan, the nurse, I think she was a nurse.
Yes.
And she makes a phone call when
she's calling 911.
And so is it the fact that it's a 911 call that sets off both Coulson's phone and what's the lady's name?
I would say so.
Well, not Abigail Brand.
No, what's the lady's
name? Rosalind.
Rosalind.
Yeah.
So the 911 call is what sets off their phones?
Because both of them are going to have systems that are basically data mining all that information. So. Yeah,
but there's a whole lot of 911 calls that.
Oh yeah, that's,
made that.
But yeah, but you have computers for, and you
you have 911 calls plus the security camera footage that's being captured in real time by the person of interest AI,
and then you've got in the real world the old NSA Skynet system. Monitoring phone calls,
probably certain trigger words that
easily
make their phones go.
Plus, you also have the fact that you've got Daisy using some of her powers, so there's probably a system in place to detect some of that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Sparkplug using his powers.
You've got all kinds of powers being used there.
Yeah, so I would expect that there's probably some sort of early warning system. That's in development, at least. But yeah, at the very least, the 911 call.
So we don't think that.
Off.
So you just think it's the fact that she's calling 911, not that she's important in some other way.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, aside from the fact that she's been a witness to,
and she's a nurse,
monsters.
Yeah, and she's basically seen someone that she's been working with who has suddenly become
a monster
in her eyes. So.
Actually, she called before.
She was on the phone when Lincoln was doing his thing. They were in the hallway together, and they made a point of showing that she saw Lincoln using his powers.
Okay.
Because after that, mm-hmm. when everything had died down and Rosalind's team is there, they're looking at Lincoln's photo on the computer, and she's standing there saying, yeah, that's him. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see how Lash develops. Mm-hmm. Throughout the season, because he's the really big bad guy, and there's plenty of people online that are excited to see him in the show. So,
why did Lincoln not go with
Lincoln?
With
Lincoln
Daisy?
Just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, but okay, sure, but you've just been attacked by something really big that has big spiny things down its back.
But he hadn't been attacked until they got there.
Yeah,
so he thinks it's because of them.
Probably.
You did this to me.
I see.
Well, I mean, you look at what Joey was dealing with. You know, when they bring him in at the beginning of the episode, and he's in isolation, and they're sitting there telling him, your life is essentially over now, because you can't go back home to Seattle, because people think you're a monster, people think you've killed people. You know, you have these powers that you can't control. And when you do get them under control and you go back to whatever life you have, you've got to hide because other people are going to come after you to try to kill you.
Because we don't know who they are and we don't know why. And
so
blah, blah,
Lincoln,
blah.
And so there's the setup for Lincoln's looking at Daisy saying, I just want a normal life. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously already gone through all of this where he's trying to establish himself as a normal person.
I felt for him, though, because he was managing to do that before they come bursting in. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So what I'm wondering is, A, how did Lash know to go there?
Yeah.
Is there some way that he can detect or sense?
Because
or
it's not like either of them just changed or something, unless
their powers,
or unless he knew of a particular person and was going after that individual.
Yeah.
Well, I wondered if there was somebody who had just gone through the change metamorphosis or whatever, and happens to be in the hospital, and they were sort of in the way. You know, mm-hmm. it just happened to be there as well.
I don't know.
When he was coming in, I thought
when he was going
there for somebody else.
Exactly. Well, I figured he was in there looking for somebody. It all depends on who he was looking for.
Yeah,
I think he was after Lincoln.
That's possible.
I think he's.
I'm not. I'm not figuring this out though. So, like, when somebody makes a change, he finds them before either of these other two organizations can find that person,
mm-hmm.
and he's killing them.
Right.
And yet Lincoln has been working in the hospital for a while, right? Right.
Well, we don't have enough information about any of this at this point.
I mean, I'm just
it's all pure speculation.
You're asking for answers for things
that are
we are not
there.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're good questions to ask.
But I'm just and they're, you know, and I'm starting wondering about this, like why
and
how is he able to find these other people so fast?
If
we don't know.
The show does not answer those questions
actually,
at some point in the season.
I do know, but I'm not telling you.
I knew it.
Well, now, to be fair, though, Lash does exist in the comic books. He is a known quantity. He does have powers that people can look up online. Or you can look him up on the wikis and that kind of thing and do some homework on this particular character. Not saying that the TV version is going to be exactly identical to the comic book version.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Lash is not a new character to the show. So I would expect they're probably going to do something that's relatively close to what's in the pages of the comic books. But really, to your questions, though, if they don't give us
some answers,
some kind of answers throughout the season to those questions, then they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing a really long game, in which case we've got all the way up until the Inhumans movie.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time.
Yes, but there will not be that long of a time before our next episode, which is going to be only in a week's time.
Woohoo!
And in the meantime, if you have theories about how Lash is finding these new Inhumans, you can let us know. Leave a comment on scififorme.com or on our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr, and we have a hotline. You can call and leave us a message with your theories or comments, 573-42-SCI-FI, or you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com. And in the meantime, we will do our homework, and we will do some theorizing and postulating and speculating. And next week, the return of Agent Melinda May, we hope. A little bit more with Mr. Grant Ward. Hail Hydra. Ish. And
maybe he's going to change the name to something that suits him better, like Hail Ward.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. And maybe we'll find out where the new bus came from.
Cool.
So who knows? Maybe. And maybe Cammy will be back.
Yeah.
And we'll have some additional voices maybe in next week's show. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Thanks very much for listening to this episode. We are back weekly. After every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, we will record one of these and post it as soon as we get done editing. So be looking for that. And in the meantime, you can also check out our other podcast, Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Yeah.
The Echo Chamber.
Rogues Gallery
and H2O. And we will be back with another episode of Level 117 next week. Jason Hunt here, thanking my panel, Maya Aids.
Good night.
I've only had two cups of coffee.
I'm sorry.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
And Timothy Harvey.
Good night.
And we will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.